Everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. I invite you to look with us in the Word of God as we look in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 to begin with. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 33. And listen to these words of wisdom. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Reading that verse again. But seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Then turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, had lain down, and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. But they said to one another, Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you? So he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the mariners were exceedingly afraid and said to him, Why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Verses 1 through 17, Jonah chapter 1. Father, we thank you for the powerful and the very insightful story of Jonah. And Lord, thank you for the truth that you call every one of your children to follow the command that through which you told us, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Lord, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of each and every one of us so that each of us will be abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your spirit. And help us to grow today tremendously in our understanding of the fact that, Lord, you've placed an important calling upon each of our lives, and that you invested the time, the gifts, the strengths, the abilities, the calling, and all that you've invested in each one of us for your purposes, for your kingdom, and for your will. Help us to know, Lord, that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to you. Our life is to be lived given to you. Our life is to be lived to honor you and to carry out your will, your call, your dream. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the wonderful work of your kingdom in this world. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We appreciate everyone joining us today that has joined us today. Let me remind you, too, that, again, well, today we're looking at the topic specifically of don't make career moves, make kingdom moves. Again, don't make career moves, make kingdom moves. Now, let me explain that so that you understand very, very clearly. Understand the work that you do, the occupation that you may have, whatever it might be, specifically as we call it, you use the term career, quote unquote, your career, it's important. But remember this, we're in the world to carry out the call of God upon our lives. We're not here to live out our dreams. We're here to live out God's dreams. We're not here to try to make ourselves happy. Our goal is to please and to seek to make God happy. Our first and foremost purpose in the world is to serve God and to glorify Him. Yet we live in a world where there are lots of people, including lots of believers, that seem to feel like that the goal of life is to be happy and to get your dreams fulfilled and to do what you think brings fulfillment in your life. Well, no, no, no. Life is to be lived for the glory of God. Life is to be lived where we carry out the call of God upon our lives. And again, remember, not necessarily living out your dreams, but to live out God's dreams. Now, if the two of them line up, wonderful. But keep in mind, sometimes we have to be prepared to let some of our dreams die if they're not from God. Because remember this, if you carry out your dreams, but they're not the dreams God had in mind for you, do you know you've wasted your life? Because sooner or later, this life is going to come to an end. But your purpose is to glorify God and to carry out His call upon your life. So today, as we look at the topic of don't make career moves, make kingdom moves, the goal is that you understand that in life we're called to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and then to walk with God, to listen to God, to seek God, to find out His heartbeat, His will, what He wants us to do. And we're to do that soberly and very with great understanding as well. Turn with me to the New Testament once again. Why don't you look at a few scriptures that help bear out the important issues we're looking at. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 tells us, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, keep in mind, too, as we said, the goal in life is not for you to fulfill your dreams, but they're to fulfill God's dreams. Now, for those people that say, well, I don't like that. I want to do my thing. I want to do what I want to do. Well, you know, it's not that you can't pursue that, but understand this. A life where you're running after what you want, not what God wants, will be a life of frustration. Because remember, when God is not number one in your life, life doesn't work. Life doesn't come together because, remember, the Bible lets us know that, in fact, the first commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. God is being number one in your life, and a part of God being number one in your life is that you're seeking what He wants for you to do in life, not what you want. You know, when we make out our plans and say, Lord, hear my plans, I bless them. That's not the way you're supposed to live life. You're supposed to live life seeking to glorify God and to carry out His call upon your life. So that's a very important truth to recognize. And also understand this too. Life is not a playground. Life is more of a battleground. And like it or not, the landscape of life is not a beach and it's not a play area. It's a battlefield. And we have to deal with spiritual warfare. You know, the Bible lays out for us in the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 10. It lays out for us the job description of Satan, the job description of the devil. It says, the thief comes not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In other words, his goal in your life, again, is spelled out in that verse. The thief, referring to the devil, comes not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's trying to steal as much as he can from you. He'd like for you to steal your gifts, your talents, your abilities. He wants to steal those things. He wants to steal your fulfillment. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your marriage. He wants to steal your children. He wants to steal your possessions. He wants you to lose as much in life as he can make you lose. And remember this, when we don't walk in the will of God, he has the freedom to take a whole lot from you. On the other hand, when we seek first the kingdom of heaven, remember this, the Bible says, all these things shall be added to you. It's important to understand this, very important point. Again, God, again, is your provider, he's your protector, he's your help, and when we put God first, God's grace engulfs our life, and God is our protector, he's our provider, he's so many things for us. So remember, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So when you put God first, when God is in the right place in your life, when he's number one, the other parts of your life can fall into place. But when God is out of place in your life, when he's not number one, nothing else will be in place. Nothing else will be in place. So if God is out of place in your life, nothing else will be in place. So as we look at the topic of don't make career moves, make kingdom moves, remember this. You're to seek God's will about every part of your life. As a believer, you're to pray faithfully every single day. The Bible says, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the scripture we often quote, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. First and foremost, you need to be sure that you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. If you're not saved, remember this. The most important decision you can make in life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You know, the Word of God lets us know if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there might be some listening today that you're thinking, well, you know, I've never made that step of asking Christ to come into my life, and I want to be saved. I want to fulfill my purpose in the world. Well, if you want to fulfill your purpose, you have to get saved. You have to give your life to Jesus Christ, because it's not going to happen outside of your coming to know Christ. Reminded of the story of the gentleman who went to the appliance store to buy himself a new refrigerator. His old one had worn out, and so the salesman showed him a particular model that had lots of wonderful features, and he was very impressed. And he said, this refrigerator has extra meat compartments, extra drawers. It can dispense water, ice cubes in any shape you want. This is a wonderful refrigerator. So finally the man says, I like it. I'll take it. And it's delivered to his home. Then he runs down to the local supermarket and fills up his basket and comes home and fills up his refrigerator with all these wonderful goodies from the grocery store. Then he goes to his back room, packs his bags because he's about to go off on a 4-week trip. And just before he steps out the door, he takes one last look at his brand new, magnificent, fine refrigerator, and he notices that he hasn't plugged it in. And he says to himself, this is such a wonderful machine, a great machine, could do all these things the salesman said it could do. It ought to work without plugging it in. And he doesn't plug it in. Well, he goes off on his 4-week trip, comes back, and he says, first thing I'm going to do is get a snack out of my wonderful, magnificent, fine, brand new refrigerator. Steps up to it, opens the door. It smells like a dead dog inside of his refrigerator. He's angry. He's mad now. He runs to the phone, calls a salesman, and for 5 minutes yells into the phone, yelling at the salesman about how much he lied and deceived him. And finally, when the salesman has a chance to speak, he says, sir, did you plug it in? The man hesitates. He thinks to himself, well, you know, no, I didn't plug it in. I thought it was such a good machine, such a great machine. I thought it should work without plugging it in. He said, sir, it's a good machine. It's a great machine. But in order for it to function correctly, you have to plug it in. You and I are much like that refrigerator in this way. We're made in the image of God. We're the top of God's creation. We're the crown of God's creation. But in order for life to work correctly, you have to be, just like that refrigerator had to be plugged into the electric socket, you and I need to be plugged into Jesus Christ. Life doesn't work correctly if you're not plugged into Jesus Christ. You've got to make that step. Would you pray this prayer with me now, everyone listening? Lord Jesus, I believe you came into this world, that you lived. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe that 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Right now, Lord, I confess I've sinned and I've done wrong in many ways. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. And today, in a brand new way, I open my whole life and heart to you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. If you made that step today, let us know. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
One of the first steps to becoming a Christian is recognizing our sinful nature. What makes this so difficult is that we have selective vision when it comes to our own issues. It's easy for me to see your faults, but when it comes to seeing my own, then my eyesight automatically gets bad. One surefire way to measure new birth in Christ is by opened eyes and a clear vision. Sometimes we can pass between having sight and having no sight because we have fallen asleep to the needs around us, or our perspective on those things that are eternal is distorted. Whatever the case, there is nothing more dangerous than having blurred vision and still thinking that it's clear. Don't measure your vision by your own standards. It will be warped and distorted every time, but rather measure it by God's standards. God desires that our eyesight remains clear. So how is your eyesight today? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Max Licato here with a word about joy, reminding you that the Bible tells us to rejoice, to be glad, to lift our voices in song. Now, people often mistake happiness as a synonym for joy. They're not the same. Happiness depends on circumstances. If I get a new car, a raise, or the best golf score I've ever shot, I'm happy. But joy or gladness, that comes from within. It's not something transitory or manufactured. Remember that little tune from Bye Bye Birdie? Words begin, gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face, brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. But what if those clouds get darker? And sometimes they do. Remember, joy is not based on the condition of the clouds in the sky. It's based on the condition of the gift of God to you. That's joy.
You embrace the Master's day.
Dr. Fred Hammond, the song Communion Song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of don't make career moves, make kingdom moves. And let me explain that very, very clearly. It's important to know, too, that in life the most important decision that we make is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you happen to have prayed that prayer for the first time, the prayer of salvation, just with us before the break, please let us know. We'd really like to get a chance to be in touch with you, like to share some spiritual encouragement literature with you by way of email and otherwise, too. So, again, my email is jparker@afa.net. And if any of the rest of you, even if you're already saved, if you want to get hold of some of that spiritual encouragement, some of those attachments that we send out, please let us know. We'd be glad to send them to you as well. You can use them and pass them on to others for spiritual encouragement. But keep in mind, it's important to know, too, that once you get saved, you need to start growing up. And these share with you truths and insights that help you to begin to really grow and grow strong. But the most important decision in life is the decision to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Once you're saved, it's important that we begin to walk with God. Well, what are the building blocks? What are the steps, the tools that help us to walk with God? Well, it's so important for believers to understand what those tools are. Because tragically, many people come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, yet, for whatever reason, are never taught or never grasped the tools that help you begin to grow up and grow strong in your faith. That is, John Wesley's word is the means of grace, the tools that we use that help us to grow. That is, the words P-R-O remind us of what those truths are. P refers to our prayer life. Have a vibrant prayer life as you talk with God daily, every single day. R refers to the reading of God's word. That is reading and meditating on God's word and putting the word of God to work in your life, reading his word daily. O refers to obedience. Live what you learn. Well, these are the building blocks that help you to begin to walk with God. And so as it relates to your career, whatever kind of work you may be doing, remember this. You may or may not be doing what you're called to do. But remember this, if you really begin to seek God and seek the heart of God and seek the will of God and ask God to guide you to where he wants you to be, God has no trouble guiding you into the right place. However, you need to be prepared if the Lord directs you to go in a totally different direction, be prepared the right way and at the right time to do just that. Now, too often, very often in life, you have people that may very well know Christ as Lord and Savior, but they basically decide, Lord, I tell you what I want to do. I want to be a doctor, a lawyer, a preacher, a teacher, or whatever you might choose to want to be. And you may say, Lord, I've decided I'm going to be this, so would you bless it? That's not the way it works. Because remember this, God made you a long, long time ago. He designed you. He had specific plans for you, with a very clear calling upon your life, a purpose for your life. And that was before the foundation of the world, long before you were created. So God knew exactly what he designed you to be. So if you happen to be moving in that right direction, wonderful. You'll see God's grace working in your life. On the other hand, if you're going east and God wants you to go west, then you probably will find yourself running into frustration and difficulty here and there in different ways because, again, remember, you and I are designed to carry out the will of God. We're called to carry out the will of God. And so when we're not doing that, we will meet frustration and emptiness and lack of fulfillment. And so the important thing is for us to go to God in prayer and let God know, Lord, I'm wide open to whatever you want me to do. Just make it clear to me. And part of that is, you need to be praying daily, listening to God. You need to be reading the Word of God every day because these are things that help you to hear more and more clearly the voice of God, that is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, giving you guidance and direction. So sometimes you may find that some people may find that they're already moving in the right direction, and that's a good thing. But for some people, they literally may have to be uprooted and turned in a totally different direction because they're not going in the direction God wants them to go in. It's important for you to be open to what God may want you to do. So for those persons that are very much in the midst of your career, a key for you is to get into the Word of God and really seek God in prayer and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Right after the Apostle Paul got saved, he asked God the question. He said, he fell off the horse on the road to Damascus, and the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And he said, who are you, Lord? But then his second question was, Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, you know, not only was that a good question for Paul to ask, that's a wise question and a wise prayer for all of us to ask God every single day. Lord, what do you want me to do? Because to really fulfill the call of God upon your life and fulfill your purpose in the world, by the grace of God, you need to answer receive the answer to that question and walk it out. We're to do what God wants us to do. So the key is finding out what God wants you to do. So if you happen to be in the middle of a career and, you know, enjoying yourself pretty much, but there too, you need to say, Lord, show me, am I going in the right path or do you want me to go in a different direction? And be wide open to God. Be wide open to God. Now, the reality is sometimes folks will let God know, God, I'm going to stay right where I am and I just want you to bless it. Well, I want you to think about the story we read, Jonah chapter 1. It's a story about a prophet, clearly a gifted of God, anointed of God to preach the gospel. But when God called him to go to Nineveh, Jonah made it clear, I don't want to do that. And so he headed in a totally different direction. Not smart. Not smart because remember this, for those that think, well, what right does God have to tell me what to do? Well, actually, every right in the world. Remember, life is a gift from God. Everything you have, every blessing you have has been given to you by God. Your gifts, your strengths, your abilities, your very life are gifts from God, but he didn't give them to you for you to do whatever you want. He gave them to you for you to glorify him with them. And one day we'll have to give account to God of what we did with our lives. So for those people that have decided, I'm going to do what I want to do, one day you'll have to give account to God and you'll need to be able to tell God, God, I didn't want to do what you wanted. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Life is not made for us to do whatever we want. Life is made for us to do what God has called us to do. And remember this, your fulfillment in life is dependent on you doing what God has called you to do. You know, sometimes we think we know what'll make us happy. Sometimes we think we know what will fulfill us. But the reality is we live in a world full of people who really don't know what's good for us. We don't know what'll fulfill us. We think we do. But there are plenty of people that had plenty of money and had money to do all kinds of things they wanted to do, and they were able to do them and found out these were empty, empty goals. Goals that left them feeling empty, unfulfilled, and in fact, even bored sometimes. So keep in mind, the very important goal here is that we carry out the call of God upon our lives. That's a very important one to keep in mind. So wherever you might be in your career today, remember this. Ask God, Lord, am I going in the right direction or do you want me to go in a totally different direction? Be open to whatever he may direct you to do. Whatever he may tell you to do. Jonah didn't want to go to preach to Nineveh. He headed to Tarshish. Well, keep in mind that was a problem because remember, God had invested an anointing on his life, a calling upon his life for him to do what God had called him to do. But Jonah decided he didn't want to do that. So he headed in a totally different direction. Well, he hops on a ship, and he goes down inside the ship, falls asleep. Well, little did he know, while he's down in the ship asleep, a storm has come up because of Jonah, all because of Jonah. And so Jonah is down in the bottom of the ship asleep, and the captain and the other sailors are just crying out for their lives, crying out to whatever God they believe in, hoping that the gods will have mercy, the quote-unquote gods will have mercy on them. The captain goes down in the ship and finds Jonah. He wakes him up. Get up. Cry out to your God. Maybe he'll have mercy on us. Well, Jonah wakes up, wipes the sleep out of his eyes, and you can picture Jonah. He realizes, uh-oh, this is because of me. And that's exactly what's going on. All the storm is because of Jonah. Why? Because Jonah's in disobedience. And keep this in mind. Many times in our lives, we run into storms because we're in disobedience. Did you know that if we decide to stop wrestling and doing what we want and decide, God, I'm ready to fully give myself to you and ready to run after the kingdom for you, there are a lot of storms that we're experiencing that will cease immediately. Why? Because some storms come because we're in disobedience. We're not doing what we're called to do. And the fact is, so many people that say they love Jesus are doing their own thing. They're doing what they want to do. They're not seeking first the kingdom. They're not seeking God in prayer. They're not trying to find out what God wants them to do. They're basically living lives with the attitude of, God, I'm doing this and this and this and this. Bless it, won't you please? And doing their own thing. That's not the way we're to live. Every day, we're to seek God in prayer, basically to get our marching orders from the Lord, and then to carry out what He's calling us to do. We are here for God. We're here to carry out God's dream, not our dream. We're here to carry out God's will, not our own will. But so many believers are much like Jonah, running the totally opposite direction. And they wonder why life isn't coming together. They wonder why they're so bored, why they're so empty, where life is such a struggle in so many regards. Now, keep in mind, everybody has struggle in life, but some struggle comes with the territory, even when the will of God. But there are a lot of folks that they're experiencing storms and struggles that are a direct result of them doing their own thing and not trying to find out what God wants them to do. So as we look at the topic of don't make career moves, make kingdom moves, let me give you an example of why this is important. Just say, for example, let's use the church, for example. Let's use pastors, okay? I'm a pastor myself. Well, the fact is, if you maybe belong to a church where the pastor told the congregation, well, you know, I'm leaving this church to go to another church because this other church is going to pay me more, and he leaves, well, you know, the members of that church where he was would probably say, well, we've lost respect for him because he left just for money. Well, and you know, that would be wrong because you don't leave because of money. You follow God. You find out what God wants. But what if a person is a business person and they just strictly leave one job for another job just because another job pays more? They don't pray about it, don't seek God. They just say, well, this job pays more, so I'm going on. Is there any difference between that person and the preacher? Basically, no. Because again, neither one of them sought the Lord. Both of them just did what they thought would be an increase in income. You never do that. Whether you're a preacher, a doctor, lawyer, teacher, farmer, janitor, whatever you do, you consult God. You find out, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to do? But now some people would condemn the preacher, but they wouldn't condemn the businessman or businesswoman for leaving one job for a higher salary. Remember, just because it pays more doesn't mean it's for you. Because sometimes you can take a job that pays more, but the problems and troubles may cause you so much trouble that it wasn't worth the increase. But remember this, if you seek God's will, it's always going to be a correct move, a right move. But there are plenty of people, they'll take a job in a minute because it pays more. No, you find out, what does God want? Lord, what would you have me to do? What is your will? Lord, thank you for every person listening, and thank you for your hand of grace upon their lives. Thank you for the call of God upon their lives. And Lord, thank you for the fact that every one of us has a very important calling. Help us, Lord, to learn from the example of Jonah in the Word of God, that when you've invested so much in us and called us to do a specific work and task in life, it's our job to seek you to find out what that is and to do it. Help us to know, Lord, that when people run away from what you've called them to do, life doesn't work. Help them to realize life doesn't come together, that life will lead to frustration and a lack of fulfillment and in all other kinds of difficulties. Help us to know, Lord, that your will is the best thing for each and every one of us. Help us to live that way for ourselves, for our marriages, for our families, for the good of our children, our grandchildren, for the whole world. Help us to know that following your will is the best thing for everyone and that it's win-win when we do your will. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic of don't make career moves, make kingdom moves. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Hi, I'm Cedric. When I was a teenager, marijuana led me to cocaine, and for the next two decades, I was a crack addict. And when I came to Teen Challenge, I was hopeless, but I'm free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
They say time flies when you're having fun, but Dr. Tony Evans says it can go painfully slow when you're not. He'll talk about what we should do during times like that as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When the kids were growing up, every year we would always go to an amusement park. We love amusement parks, and the wilder the ride is, the more excited I get, because I love the wild rides and, of course, the wildest of all, the roller coaster. The problem with that ride is a whole lot of other folk want to get on it too. Yes, you want the ride, but you don't want the wait. They began putting television screens intermittently along the wait line so that the wait didn't affect you the same way as it used to affect you, because there was something for you to focus on that took your mind off of the pain of having to go 90 minutes before you arrived at your destination. I don't know how long God's going to keep you in the line you're in. I don't know how long he's going to make you wait for your deliverance to come. All I do know is there is a comforter. There is a distraction. There is something that God has provided while you're in this line to deal with this. He says, I want you, in the middle of what you're going through, to focus on the fact that if you are seeking the Lord, serving the Lord, are committed to the Lord, I want your focus to be on the Lord, so that while you're going through this, the God who allowed the affliction can also share the comfort.
Learn more about how the Lord cares for you and equips you to care for others with the help of Dr. Evans' teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Music of Marvin Sapp, the song Possess the Land. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of don't make career moves, make kingdom moves. And a very important topic, because again, it affects all of us. Remember this, every believer has an important calling on your life. And you should never, ever make the mistake of thinking another Christian is more important than you, because every one of us has a very important place in the kingdom of God and in the will of God as well. So every person's calling is an important calling. Now, the question came up, how can you confirm God's answer? Now, that's an excellent question, and I want to try to be real clear with that. Now, remember this, God talks to all of his children, and God can speak to us in a way where we can understand it, but again, sometimes we need to seek clarity of direction. Let me give you, I'm going to give a personal example of guidance and direction. I hope this is helpful, though. But I recall when I was in high school, I was called of the Lord into the ministry. I was still in high school. Now, when I first sensed the Lord calling me into the ministry, I was in the seventh grade. But I was thinking, well, in the seventh grade, well, I'm going to finish high school and then go to college and go to seminary, and then I'll start preaching. But as it turns out, I felt led of the Lord to go and start while I was actually still in high school. Well, also, there was another matter about which I had to make a decision. I was also in the high school band in high school, and I loved playing in the band. I played snare drum, and I was good. I was really good. I was on the track to become first chair my senior year. But the year coming into my junior year, I felt the Lord tell me clearly, get out of the band. Well, that was hard. That was hard because there was almost nothing I enjoyed more in high school than being in the band. But the Lord was directing me, get out of the band. Now, keep in mind, you might say, well, what's wrong with being in the band? You know, maybe you're mishearing the Lord. No, I knew in my heart God was telling me to do it. How did you know? Well, again, God leads you. Sometimes God in your spirit will just tell you no with certain things. But sometimes he's clearly giving you a message, and you know it even when nobody else understands it. Because it's a beautiful thing to be able to play a musical instrument, whatever it might be, generally speaking. But when God tells you don't do something or to stop something, you need to do it. Well, in that case, it was just very clear in my heart what the Lord wanted me to do. And to be quite honest, my junior year, I disobeyed the Lord. I stayed in. Why? Because I was enjoying myself. But then come my senior year, I just realized God, in his grace and his patience, was being patient with me. God didn't come down heavy on me because I was in disobedience, but he made it clear he wanted me to get out. And so prior to my, just before my senior year, I got out of the band. Well, it was just a knowing in my heart. It was a knowing in my heart that this is what I needed to do. Now, sometimes God leads you just by a clear impression in your mind or in your heart. But then other times he leads you when you make a decision, it's when you have his peace because you made that decision. Now, also, though, an important part of this is you stay in the Word of God, because remember, the Word of God helps you to come to know more and more clearly the clear voice of God. Now, the reason I put it that way is because sometimes we can allow ourselves to be deceived when we want to be deceived. For example, if there's something I really, really want to do and I prayed about it, I may just decide, well, I prayed about it and I think this is what God wants me to do. Whereas in reality, it's just me wanting it to do so badly, I'm trying to ignore the impressions I'm getting otherwise. So many times it's when you receive the peace of God after you've made a decision that that's what you know it's from the Lord. But also, too, sometimes when you pray about it, you give yourself time to pray and ask God to give you clarity. You stay in the Word of God because these are things that cause you to hear more clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit and to know it. Also, fasting is a very helpful tool, too. When you're willing to take time to fast and pray, remember, fasting doesn't necessarily draw you closer to God per se, but what fasting does is fasting pushes the flesh down and allows the spirit to rise to the top. In other words, fasting allows you to hear more clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit, and it causes you to turn the volume of the voices of the world down lower and lower. So when you deny your flesh in that way, it just causes you to hear the Holy Spirit much more clearly in your life. So fasting is a very, very good tool for believers. Now, some believers may think, oh, I'm not called to fast. I don't like to fast, you know. I can't fast. Well, again, I think your flesh has way too much weight when it comes to telling you what to do. Your flesh doesn't like to fast, obviously. But it's a wonderful tool that'll help you to hear more clearly from the Lord. So God leads us by his peace. He leads us by his spirit that speaks to us in our mind and our heart. He leads us by his word often as well. But these are ways whereby we can discern the will of God. And also remember, God is not going to change his word. So if someone says, God called me to go beat somebody up, no, that wasn't the God, that was the devil. That might have been a spirit, but that wasn't the Holy Spirit, okay? God doesn't call you to abuse people. He calls you to love people. God will never contradict his word. So if something contradicts the word of God, that's not the Holy Spirit leading you to do that. So when you study the Word of God, it helps you to hear more and more clearly the discernment of the will of God. Also, you ask God for clarity of direction. It's okay to say, Lord, make it clear what you want me to do. God doesn't mind, and God knows how to give you clarity of direction. But a key is that you genuinely want to seek the Lord. Now, another way whereby you can hear God's will is you consult people that are godly people that love the Lord and ask them for their prayers, but also ask them for their counsel in certain situations. Now, that's a wise thing to do. But now, keep in mind, you don't just ask anybody, because sometimes you ask some people that some people don't know the Lord, then other people, maybe they're not mature in the Lord, where they'll tell you what you want to hear. You say, well, if you in your heart, you just want to be a great singer and you think you're a great singer and that's what you want to do, and ask your close buddies, well, they may say, sure, I think you're called to do it too. Well, Well, sometimes they may just be telling you something to make you feel good. But ask if your father or mother love the Lord, or an uncle or aunt that you know, or maybe just a friend that loves the Lord. Talk to your pastor, maybe your Sunday school teacher. Ask them to pray with you, but share your situation. Ask for their counsel, because many times they can give you good advice, and often God will speak to you through godly people as well. So all of these are ways whereby you can get clarity of direction. And if you're genuinely seeking the Lord's will, God will direct you. But now sometimes people may throw up one quick prayer and think, Lord, guide me, and that's all. And they think, well, God told me to do this, and they run with it. Well, sometimes, again, we can fool ourselves when it really wasn't God at all. It was what you really wanted to do. So, but let's try to address another question. Another question says, how can you determine if what you're asking from God is the delay on what you're asking, or if it's a denial? Well, you know, that's a good question, too. That's a very good question, and it's a question I want to be real clear on. Remember this. God, sometimes he says yes to prayer. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he does say wait. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. Well, now, keep in mind, again, here's where it's so important for us to stay in close fellowship with God. If you're reading the Word of God daily, every day, you're seeking him in prayer, these are things that are help. These are all things that help guide us and help us to hear more and more clearly. So that's an important goal to pursue too then. So keep in mind, as we seek God's guidance, as we seek his direction, again, he knows how to guide us and direct us. But it's very important for us to always have in our heart that we know and let God, remind God often, Lord, I really want your will. I just need you to make it clear. Now, one of the reasons why it's so important to stay in the Word of God is because God's Word anchors you, and it helps you to stay in a listening mode. Remember, on a regular basis, it's good for you to regularly remind God, God, I want your perfect will. But now sometimes, you know, God may lead us and give us direction, but if it's not what we want, we may pretend like we don't hear God. Or we may say, oh, that's the devil. No. Again, remember, the devil's not going to tell you to follow God. He's not going to tell you to do something that's loving and honoring to people. He's not going to tell you to give and bless somebody else. So certain things clearly are going to be God. But it's important that we're seeking to fully discern his voice and know his voice and to walk that out as well. But remember this, God wants you to find his will more than you do. He wants you to walk in his will more than you do. Why? Because remember, when you obey God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you're stepping into the eternal purposes of God. It's very important that we carry out the call of God on our lives. Not just a little bit important, because just like, for example, okay, I'm going to take Abraham and Sarah as an example. Somebody brought their name up in the chat. Well, let me use them as an example. God told Abraham to pack up his family and move to the promised land. Well, what if Abraham had told God, God, I tell you what, I don't want to move, but I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to teach Sunday school and sing in the choir here where I am, but I don't want to move. Well, you see, not only would Abraham and his family missed out on the blessing of God, but the whole church and all of church history would have been altered because of Abraham's disobedience. But now, rather, what would have happened is probably is God would have found someone else who would obey. Because remember, God's will is going to get done. And sometimes God has to skip one person because they're disobeying him and find someone who will obey. But that's okay. Again, if you're one who's willing to obey, you may get double reward because you obeyed. But the person who disobeyed will miss out on the blessing of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss out on the blessing of God. So the key is be willing to obey and decide that even if it appears that God is totally changing your dream or totally changing the direction of your life, that's okay because it's the best thing for you. But if you miss God in your life, even if you think you're fulfilling something that you want to do, in the end, you're going to wish that hadn't happened. Why? Because it's going to lead to frustration and a lack of fulfillment. So when people aren't going after God's dreams, they're going after their own dreams, again, it will leave you. In the end, you'll come up empty. In the end, you will not be fulfilled. In the end, you won't carry out the purpose of God in your life. So a key is you don't want to miss God no matter what. On the other hand, when you obey God, again, looking back at Abraham and Sarah, the whole world is still being blessed because of the obedience of Sarah and Abraham and Sarah. So keep in mind, now you might think, well, they were great people in the Bible. That would never be true of me. No, don't be so sure. Understand this. Everyone's obedience is important to the will of God and the call of God on their life. So when you simply obey God, whatever he's calling you to do, you're not only going to bless yourself, but you're going to bless your family. You're going to bless your children, your grandchildren. You're going to bless your clan. You're going to be a blessing to the whole wide world. Now, you might say, well, I don't see how God will use me to be a blessing to the whole world. That's not your business. Your business is to obey God. But if you obey God, again, you're going to be a blessing to the whole wide world. And again, you may say, well, I don't see how that's going to happen. Don't worry about it. Just obey. Just find out what he's calling you to do. So remember this, finding out God's will is not just a little bit important. It's extremely important. So in seeking to carry out whatever career that you're in, remember the all-important thing is, what does God want from you? What does he want you to do? As you're seeking him, he may bless what you're doing and guide you to keep going in that direction. But then again, he might totally change your direction. But the important thing is to know this, if he totally changes your direction, that's the best thing in the world for you, because it's going to be a blessing to you and you're going to bless the world. But if you carry out what in your mind is what you want to do, but you miss God, not only will you not be the blessing to the world God wanted you to be, you won't even be the blessing to yourself that you want to be, because sooner or later, you're going to find life is empty. Even if you were going after what you thought would make you happy, we don't really know what will make us happy. We think we do, but we really, really don't. So the key is, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Stay in the Word of God every day. Reading 3 chapters a day will bless you and help guide you more and more in his will. Be prayerful every day. Are you involved with the spread of the gospel? Buy gospel tracts and give them out. That's a part of what God wants every believer to do. God will use you every day. Lord, thank you for the chance for us to know your will and to walk in it. For every person listening, pour out a mighty anointing upon us. Help us to discern your call upon our lives and to walk that calling out completely, knowing that we will be the great blessing to the world you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession. We've looked at the topic today. Don't make career moves, make kingdom moves. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.